And we're going to talk about the Mount Sinai of the New Testament. The Sinai of the New Testament. We're in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we're studying Matthew from the Greek text. And we're at verse number 1. Eidon de tus oculos, anabe eis teo oros, kai kathisantos auto pros elthanthon auto hoi mathete auto. Moreover, following along, having seen the crowds. All right, this is over 10,000 people. There's more than 10,000 people. He went up into a mountain. Anabe comes from Anabino. He went up into the mountain, the Oros. And having sat down, they approached, the disciples of him. The Mount Sinai of the New Testament. So he went up on the mountain. Now, if you go up on the edge of a mountain, look down, and you talk down upon a group, that is good acoustics. They can hear you. Can you imagine Jesus now? Just think back. Think how Jesus talked to these people, and there were over 10,000 people here. John Whitfield... When he came to America and preached to 10 and 20,000 people. They say he could scream just for an hour or 2 hours at the top of his lungs. He would be preaching. Now, I preach fairly loud, and I preached the funeral the other night in a big building, and they could hear me without a microphone. And I had to do that because we didn't have a microphone. And you might have heard it, Raymond Montragon's memorial service. Please pray for those people. There were many people there that did not know the Lord. And I've never seen such a great audience. That's quite a few people there. And they were all listening. And I know that many of them did not know the Lord. And I preach the gospel, so pray for those people, that God will reach their hearts. Kai anoxos to soma auto edoskin autos legon. And having opened up the mouth of him, he kept on teaching them, and this is what he was going to say, saying legon. Makarioi hoi tokoi. To numati. Hote. Auton. Estin. He. Basilia. Tu. Ronu. Blessed the ones poor. Those are the people that are absolute destitute. The patokoi. Blessed and happy are the poor. The beggars, in the spirit, because of them it is the kingdom of the heaven. Enviable, blessed, congratulations to the ones poor. Blessed is a word that means happy, content. A blessing was conferred upon Adam. A blessing was conferred upon Noah. A blessing especially was conferred upon Abraham. A blessing was conferred upon Isaac. A blessing was conferred upon Jacob. The word blessed there, when God blessed them, He gave them a commandment, an endowment, a peace, an endowment. The endowment is that they would tell their children that God has given us a trust. How many of you out there have a trust? A legacy to hand down to your children. How many of you have a legacy? And in these trusts, we have irrevocable trust and we have revocable trust. And in that trust is an endowment of so much money or so much property so that the descendants can have peace of mind and more than their parents did. I guarantee you my children will have more than I did because I was born with nothing. My own mother gave me away to my grandmother because I was too much trouble when I was a baby. I mean, newborn baby. I went into a one-room little shack, not much bigger than this little cabin that we're recording in, with a dirt floor. No door. All it had was a tarp flap for a door. And one window over here to the left-hand side as you're looking in was chicken wire over it. And in the wintertime, we put a board over it. And a wood stove on that side. My children, I hope, do not have that type of a meager life ahead of them. I worked hard. We try to leave legacies and trust onto our children. The greatest trust you can leave to your children is the fear and admonition of the Lord. Marin is not used to this type of cold up here that we're in here. Last night it was 12 degrees and blowing made the wind chill factor go down below zero. We're not walking in snow yet, but we probably will be for four hours. It snowed 2 hours yesterday in the morning, but it was so cold that the snow just blew away. The snow was like popcorn. And Marilyn said, this is hard to live in this kind of stuff. It's hard to live here. I said, Marilyn, I was out in these alfalfa fields and on these farms working on machinery this time of year, replacing that stuff out here in the cold. And I was going out there in the hot tub that's about 9 miles that way taking a bath below zero in a hot well out there in the open. You get your clothes off real fast and you put your clothes on real fast. And your hair is frozen. It's hard life. Hard life. When I first came up here, the neighbors came over and I was running around out here in a shirt sleeve and it was about 20 degrees. And they said, well, aren't you cold? I said, I was raised in this country. This is my home. Yeah, tonight, like 20 degrees, dark, with no sun shining on you, I'm going to have clothes on. I want to have gloves on. But in the daytime, I worked all day long with frozen water lines and things here. I will hand this little place down to my children someday, and it will be a trust to them. And I hope it makes them happy. And I've entrusted part of my estate into discovertheword.com, a large part of it. That's an entrustment. To confer a trust, to an endowment. God blessed Abraham, He blessed Isaac, He blessed Jacob. And Jesus blesses us with salvation so rich and free. Blessed the ones poor, beggars, destitute. So poor they have to have somebody to carry them to the wherever they're going to beg for what food they can have. And maybe somebody will throw a rag off them or a worn out coat or something so they can stay warm. Poor in the spirit because of them, belonging to them is the kingdom of the heaven. Happy in bios, happy in life, and happy in death. When you close your eyes in death, what will you see? Will you see glory? You know, in the Old Testament, all before Christ had to go to Hades or Sheol, and it was separated by a great gulf, and on one side was paradise, on the other side was torments and comfort, bliss and happiness. That's the trust that God has given to us, to the saints of the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, He took all of the saints from Sheol, paradise and Sheol, to heaven, Hashemayim, to paradise. They're there today. When you close your eyes in death, if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and save your soul, when you close your eyes in death, you shall wake up in glory. As is happened in Luke, the 16th chapter. That's a true story. 5 and verse 4. Makaroi, hoi, nun thontes, hote autoi, paraklethesonte. Blessed the ones mourning, the ones tasting of death and dying, because they shall be comforted. Most people are afraid to die. Most people are afraid to die. We hold on to this life so tenaciously. But if you're a child of God, when you close your eyes in death, you shall be happy. You shall be in glory. Blessed the ones mourning. Penthuntos. Penthuntes. Come from Pentheo. Those that are mourning because of bad health, sickness, and at the edge, the cliff of eternity. Because they shall be comforted. We have the word parakaleo there. Sorrow makes us seek after the hand of God, doesn't it? Sorrow makes you pray. There can be no comfort where there has been no repentance and no grief for your sins. There can be no comfort. If you have not mourned at a period of time in your life, punctiliar action, a point of time in your life where you were sorry for your sins and you were mourning over your sins. In churches, they used to have the mourner's bench. And people, when they would get convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment that come, they would come down and beg God to forgive them. Many times in tears. And then tears of joy. 5 and verse 5. Mak kaurioi. Hoi praes hote autoi. Plero no me susan. Pain, gain. Blessed the ones humble, mild-natured, bashful, meek, humble. The humble people. All I have to do is look at Jesus and I'm humble. All I have to do is read God's Word and I'm humble. Because I know there is no way that I can ever get to heaven without the grace of God. I was watching a documentary the other day of a Jewish rabbi, of an atheist, of a Catholic, of a Christian scientist, and there was one Christian there. And they asked each one of them what they thought about closing your eyes in death. Closing your eyes in death. What happens when you close your eyes in death? Well, the atheist said, why, you just die. You better do everything you want to do in this world, because when you die, you're dead, you're gone, and you'll never be anymore. There was a Rosicrucianist there. They said, oh, well, you will migrate on into another life. Christian Science said, well, death is just a figment of our imagination. Really, death is, we need to deny it, because God wants us to be happy and live. And everything and health, all your health, sicknesses and everything, you deny that because that is not real. The Catholic priest said, well, when we die, he said, I believe that all the things that we wish for and hope for and everything else, according to the liturgy of the church, we can attain sometime. And the rabbi said, well, life is just part of dying. We live for a while and we die for a while. And if we're good enough, and we're moral enough, and we're upright, and we're righteous, we get to go to be in glory. And he said, I don't want heaven's light, but we get to go be there if you have lived a good enough life. Then the Christian man said, well, I hope that God doesn't judge me by what I do, by my sins, because I would go to hell. He said, neither is anybody else in this building, in this stage right now, because all of you need the grace of God to get to heaven. Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't get there. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done any bad deeds. Humility. Blessed are the meek, the humble. When you realize who you are and what you're a sinner just like Adam was. Then you can make agreement with God, shalom, peace, because shalom, peace, means agreement. There has to be an agreement between you and God, and it's not on your terms, it's on God's terms. And God's terms is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not by our good works, our bad works, or what religion, or who we pay off. Blessed are the meek and humble, the bashful. Remember when those two people were praying, the rabbi, the Pharisee, and the tax collector. The Pharisee looked up and he said, I thank God that I'm not a woman. Wasn't born a woman. I thank God that I wasn't born a Gentile. I thank God that I do this and I tithe and I do all this kind of stuff. Browed and boastfully praying to be heard. And that's the rote that they prayed. You know, I thank God that I'm not a Gentile. I thank God that I wasn't born a woman. I thank God that I tithe and I do all of these real good deeds. By the grace of God, we do whatever we do for Him. That's it. And then the tax collector would not lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat upon his chest and said, O God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one of these people went to his house, to his home, justified? I tell you, it was the one that was humble. Because they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. I was out looking at the stars tonight. It's very clear up here in Nevada. I could see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. And I could see all of those star constellations up there as I looked up there. And I thought about all of what God had created, how He had created all this stuff and put it in perfect order to stay that way until He called it back to Himself. We see that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He so loved the world. That's the gay. That's the earth. Tame gain right there. The earth. If you are born again, if you are saved and you follow the Lord, your, what we call dominion, shall be the whole universe, including this earth. This shall all be yours with Christ. Five and verse six. Makaroi hoi peinontes kai diphontes tain dikaiosune hote autoi kortaste son te. Blessed the ones hungering. Boy, I was hungry today. I was out here trying to unfreeze these lines and try to get the washing done and working on things, working on the septic line and on the drain line today. I had to repair them. I had to cut pieces out. I had to glue them back together. And all of this, and I forgot to eat. And it came about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and I was very hungry. My stomach was hurting. I was so hungry. Now, some people have never come to that point that you are that hungry, that you are hurting, that your stomach is swelling because acid is going in it and you have hunger pains. All men and women should know what it is to be hungry. And you ought to have enough sense to feed yourself when you get hungry, not like me. Blessed, happy, entrusted with a trust and an estate, the ones hungering and thirsting. Now this is hungering there is nominee, plural, masculine, present participle, acting. That's a continuing thing, and so is this thirsting. For the righteousness. The righteousness, the only righteousness we can have is that which is in Christ Jesus. God has paved a way in 24 karat gold to heaven for us. And yet some people don't have good enough sense to get on that road. The searching for righteousness, because they shall be satisfied. They shall be fattened on good feed. That's what it says. They shall be fattened on good feed. There is in almost every man the love for food. Some love it more than others. Some people live to eat and not eat to live. Some people only are thinking about the next meal. It would be good if they were thinking about the spiritual food like that. Be a spiritual glutton. That's okay. To be a physical glutton, well, it's not good for your health. And it's not good for your pocketbook either. But to be a spiritual glutton, a spiritual glutton. To thirst after. Write that down, Marilyn. The spiritual, to be a spiritual glutton. Write that down. To be a spiritual glutton is okay. To be a physical glutton is not okay. The Bible talks down about gluttony and drinking, alcohol, till you're stupefied. They shall be satisfied, the one hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Be a glutton for righteousness. 5 and verse 7, Mach karoi hoi eleimones hote autoi eleithosonte. And blessed the ones being merciful. Gracious. Gracious. Have you ever met anybody in your life that was extremely gracious? Very gracious. Every time they saw you, they offered you something. They offer you a drink when they come in your house. You go in there and they put food on the table for you. They compliment you. They try to gratify your needs. There's one man that I know that is a very gracious man. I have never been in a restaurant where that man was that I, when I went up there to pay my bill, that I had a bill. Never said anything about it at all. The man that owns Taste of Selection Potatoes, Bob Bender. I was up here in Fish Lake Valley out in the middle of nothing like that, and I saw him in there, said hi to him, and Marilyn and I were eating, and when we went up there to pay our bill, we had no bill. Going to a restaurant, see him sitting over there. Sometimes he's busy. I don't even say anything to him. When I go to pay my bill, I don't have one. Gracious, merciful, gracious people. Blessed and happy are the ones who are merciful. Gracious. Abounding in grace. Abounding in mercy. Because they shall obtain mercy and grace. They shall obtain it. They shall be caused to obtain the grace. It's in the passive voice. 5 and verse 8 now. Makarioi hoi kathori. Te kardia hote autoi ton theon opsonte. Blessed and happy the ones cleansed. Katharoi. In the heart. That means you out there that have been born again. We all have the Adamic nature after we're saved, like we had it before. Except we have something else in our life. We have a new nature, a new spirit in our life that makes it more uncomfortable to sin than it was before. If you're a Catholic, you go to the priest, you confess your sins, and he tells you to do something, so many Hail Marys or whatever, to obtain mercy. If you've been born again, if you ask the Lord to save your soul, you are clean. You're clean from that time on. The Lord forgives you of your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Soteria kosmou. The ones clean in the heart because they shall see. They shall see God for themselves. In Hebrews 12 and verse 14, the beatific vision is only possible here on earth to those with pure hearts. What's a pure heart? It's not a sinless heart, but it's a heart that has been cleansed. That's been born again. 5 and verse 9. Makarioi ho hoi. Urena nope poi hoi. Hote altoi huioi. Theu clay theisonte. Blessed the ones peacemakers. Sometimes pastors are called, many times, almost always, pastors are called to be peacemakers among their parishioners. Children of God don't get along too good together sometimes. And we have to do a lot of peacemaking. Peter said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. Really? How about 7 times 7? No, he said 70 times 7. Just keep on forgiving your brother. God did. Blessed are the ones peacemakers, because they are the ones, the sons of God. They shall be called. They shall be called. It's difficult to bring peace where there is no peace. But still, we are to strive to become peacemakers. Ephesians 2 and 14. One more verse. Makarioi hoi de do minoi. Henaken, dekaiosunes, hote, auto, esten, he, basilia, ton, urano. Blessed the ones having been persecuted. Having been run down, that's what the word is. Dioke. Dioko is where it comes from. This is nominee plural masculine, perfect participle, passive voice. The ones that have been run down and persecuted and pursued for the sake of righteousness. Get around an atheist. That atheist wants to bring you down on his level of no God. He won't leave you alone. He wants to prove to you that there is no God, that you have no peace in your heart. When I was watching that documentary the other day with that atheist there, you better live the thoughts you want to live right now, because you sure won't see anything when you close your eyes in death. When you close your eyes in death, what shall you see? I did a sermon on that the other day. When you close your eyes in death, what shall you see? I guarantee you, there's no atheist that's going to be an atheist 1 second after they die. They're going to wake up into eternity. With God, or 86 and file 13, away from God, forever. Once you have been conceived in your mother's womb, you shall live one place or the other forever. Forever. Blessed and happy are the ones having been persecuted and run down for the sake of righteousness, because of them it is the kingdom of heaven. Made up of them and belonging to them is the kingdom of heaven. Now let's go back and read these 10 verses from the Amplified Bible. Seeing the crowds, he went up into the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Now he's talking down upon the crowds so they can hear him better. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed and happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, rating themselves insignificant, for theirs belongs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed and enviable and happy with a happiness produced by experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelations of His matchless grace are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this actually is a prophecy from Isaiah 61 and verse 2. Blessed and happy and blissome and joyous and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor, and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, the patient, the long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37 and verse 11, fulfillment of that prophecy. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous, that is, in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God, for they shall see, for they shall be completely satisfied. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 and 2. Blessed and happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the merciful, the gracious, for they shall obtain grace and mercy. Blessed and happy and enviable and fortunate and spiritually prosperous, that is, possessing the happiness produced by experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by His revelation of His grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not as of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Regardless of their outward conditions are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. 9. Blessed and enjoyable and enviable happiness and spiritually prosperous, that is, with joy, with life's joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, sickness and health, are the makers and the maintainers of peace, for they shall be called heirs of God, sons of God. Number 10. Blessed and happy and enviable and fortunate and spiritually prosperous, that is, in the state in which one enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's grace and favor and salvation, regardless of his outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you close your eyes in death right now, what shall you see? Are you spiritual gluttons, searching and seeking, and just can't get enough of God's Word? You know, when you're away from it, one of my students, Brett Johnson moved over on the coast in Pismo, and he became a manager of a hotel over there. And when he got over there and in that hotel, he was in my class for 10 years. He was starving for the Word of God. I would go over there and preach. And we did quite a few messages over there at that little Dolphin Cove hotel. And he absolutely supported the website. He said, that's the most important thing in the world. That website is the most important. People are getting fed all over the world, and they are. And he said, now that I don't have you in my sights all the time, I'm hungry. I go back to California and I call my students and I say, I'm going to be preaching at my house or at Tehachapi this period of time and that time. And they show up because they're hungry for God's Word. You can sit out there, if you're my students, wherever you are in the world, and you can watch me, you can hear me preaching God's Word. It's attainable. You're thirsting, you're hungry, you're gluttons for the Word of God. And that gives you peace. It helps your life held together in the right direction. We all need the grace of God, and we all need God's Word, and we all need the food of God. Jesus said to the old devil, the devil told him to turn these breads into stone. He was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Not like these Muslims in Ramadan. They feast at day and nighttime, and they go without eating at daytime. They call that fasting. That's not fasting at all. That's just changing your eating schedule. That's all it is. They eat. Jesus did not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he was tempted by the Satan, Satan said, turn these stones into bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. That is the most important food. Be a glutton for God's Word. Our Father, we send this message out for all of those out there that are hungry for your Word. Father, watch over them. I pray for each and every one of my children every day. Take care of them. Guide their every footstep. Guide their lives and their hearts wherever they are in this world. Thank you for giving them, these children, to me. They're very important to me, more than flesh and blood. Thank you, Father. Forgive me where I failed you. And help me this year to glorify you more than I did last year, and the year before, and the year before. And thank you for the ability to do what we're doing with the Word of God. Blessed are those out there, Father, that hunger and thirst for your word. Well, they shall be satisfied.